Hey, Maddie. Thanks for coming on the podcast today.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, it's really my pleasure. I'm looking forward to our conversation today. And, you know, for those who don't know, you have founded the Mad Social Agency, which is a digital agency that you founded as such a young person. And, you know, we're going to talk to you today about what that journey's been like, what it's like to be a young entrepreneur in today's world, and get into perhaps some, you know, marketing ideas and themes and discussions. And I'm looking forward to it. So don't we start off with just a little bit about you? You know, can you tell me a little bit about your journey that got you here? You know, how did you become an entrepreneur at such a young age?
Sure. So I've always been extremely entrepreneurial, even from when I was 13, just with lemonade stands and raising money for charities. I've always loved things like that. I tried to start a business for doll clothing. I would used to sew a little clothing. I just sell it to my friends and stuff when I was young. And then at 13 years old, I was extremely into fashion and extremely into art. And I'd always draw up these little fashion designs. So one day I saw on my Instagram feed, Gary Vee talking about DMs and how you can DM anybody. And it was this new kind of thing where you could literally send a message to anybody that you wanted to in the world, celebrities, CEOs, anybody. So I decided to take photos of these fashion designs or ball gowns, and I sent them to a ton of companies. And one company came back to me, wanted to meet me in person at their Winnipeg photo shoot. That's where I'm from. And went there, offered me an internship at 13 years old to design a clothing brand with them. And so I always say that's where my entrepreneurial roots kind of started. Starting a clothing line at 13 under a nationwide company. And it was just extremely fun. I learned a lot about chain of command. I learned a lot about design and fashion and business. And it all interested me a lot. Mm-hmm. So fast forward to that, I started a few other businesses, which I can get into as well. But Mad Social Agency started out of my love for social media. Mm. I had a TikTok account that blew up, and my part-time job manager one day just mentioned, "Hey, Maddie, you should run our dollar store social media accounts." I'm like, "Yeah, sure, why not? That would be fun." And so I'd post on there. It did extremely well. People would come to the store if I'd post about deals, but then they took advantage of the situation a little bit. Mm. So decided to start my own thing the day before my 19th birthday. Now I'm 21, but that's how it all started. Didn't know anything.
That's crazy. But I really love that initiative that you took, you know, when you were 13 and you were just like, I'm just going to send some stuff out. Let's see what happens. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's such an important part of entrepreneurship is being willing to do that and just put yourself out there and, you know, have most people ignore you probably, but all you need, all you need is one, right? You just need one person or one company to say, hey, like, this is really cool or inspiring. And, you know, let's take a chance. Let's see what happens and give this kid a break and do something nice and something fun. And, you know, look where it's gotten you today.
Exactly. Right. And I always hear from people wanting to become entrepreneurs or to start a business that they're afraid to go start. They're afraid to reach out to people. They're afraid to get help. And in really, what's the worst that's going to happen? They won't respond to you. They'll say no. That's it. That's the worst that can happen. I would say that the worst part is the regret from not doing it, the regret after the fact. So exactly. It's just, you need to go ahead and take that leap, you know, sit in that fear.
Yeah. And I think that fear is it's a very interesting point, right? It's because people are very afraid of rejection. And yet, as you say, the fear of not doing it or the fear of regret is perhaps greater than the fear of rejection. And if you can really understand that for yourself, then that means that, well, you've got two options here. Right? Mm-hmm. Because now you know you want to start this business or this company. So that's not going away. So your options are, you know, confront one of these fears. And if you confront the right one, well, then you never know what can happen, right? I mean, amazing stories have ended up because people just took a chance on themselves and said, this is just what I want to do. Let's see what happens. I'll go step by step and we'll take it as far as it goes and learn so much along the way. And it's all about learning, right? Because no one knows anything when they start, right?
Exactly. Nobody does. I had no idea what I was doing, even social media management wise. When I got my first client, I posted about a crazy social media management deal and I had no idea what the hell I was doing. I was just like, yeah, sure. You got to say yes to things, even if you don't know what you're saying yes to. You got to start somewhere. I will never know exactly what I'm doing. I will never, but that's the beauty of it. Nobody knows what they're doing. And once you realize that, the world's a lot less scary.
Yeah. I think I even heard a clip of you saying that, you know, when you first started, you were offering a month's worth of social media management for like $80, right?
Yeah. $80. And so I closed a DQ franchise that first week, 3 locations.
They were like, what a deal.
Yeah. But back then I thought, because I was making about $500 a month. I was a broke university student. That went toward all of my expenses. I didn't make any money. So whatever, $80 times 3 accounts to me was a lot of money back then. Like, oh my gosh, I can pay for extra gas. Like I can actually pay to fix my car if I need to, right? So now it doesn't seem like a big deal. It doesn't seem like a lot of money. That's extremely cheap. But it was, it was massive to me back then.
And it got you started.
Exactly. Right. And it got me started. And I think that too many people start out chasing the money. Mm. And where I started out truly just having fun. I loved it. And, extra $80 a month. Well, hell yeah. Why not do that if it's something that I actually love doing?
And you started to learn, right? Exactly. You started to learn and try. And, you know, it wasn't such a huge contract that you might risk losing. So it's worth doing. And I mean, I can only imagine what you learned managing those 3 accounts just within a few months, right? Of learning how to do social media management. Like arguably it would have been worth doing for free just to get that experience and that learning. And DQ is huge, right? DQ being Dairy Queen, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
and I mean, that's a multinational corporation, right? Mm-hmm. Is it a franchise? Is that why they can sort of just hire someone on their own?
Yeah, correct. It's a franchise. So these specific people own a few locations.
Got you. Do you still work with them?
I do, actually. I do. Yeah. Not at $80 a month, but I do work with them. Yeah.
And so what was the leap from there? Like, how did you transition that into, you know, more clients, or will you just keep putting yourself out there, DMing people, you know, taking those risks, being like, hey, do you need a social media manager? Like, I can do it for you.
Yeah. Well, so back then, like how I started my business was I legit started an Instagram account. That was my business. I started an Instagram account and I searched up cool words and the word Spark came up and I was like, oh, that's cool. I call it Spark Media. That's how I named my business back then. And I started it just in a day. So to kind of grow from that, all I really did was I posted content. I posted social media tips, kind of the work that I was doing for DQ, because I was in full-time university and I had still a part-time job and there's some overlap where I had 2 part-time jobs there. So I was pretty busy in school's number one. I was an architecture student. That's gets pretty intense here.
But
just slowly posting content for those few months, started that October. And then in February, I had a viral post. So that's when it kind of really hit me where, oh my gosh, this can be legit, because I got 5 clients that week. So I bumped up my prices slowly within those months. I bumped up my prices a bit, but when that viral post hit, I gained a ton of followers and I actually looked like more of a agency. I mean, still a freelancer, but a higher end freelancer, I guess. So that was the first kind of hit of knowing that I could grow it and focusing on the business, because I didn't focus on it previously. So I've mainly grown my business through social media, through shareable content, promoting my own personal brand on whether it be TikTok, LinkedIn, which I am in love with lately, Instagram, all of those platforms. And now I'm really focusing on referrals as well. Mm-hmm. So just utilizing those different channels. Outreach I've never really done. I think that it's just annoying.
In the beginning.
Just in the beginning. Yeah. I just did it in the beginning when I was 13. But it's important to reach out for help, I think.
Get
to,
mentors. You know,
get mentors, make connections, all of that. But I don't necessarily believe in just cold messaging businesses on Instagram. Like, I'll do that if they follow me, I'll introduce myself, but that's about the extent of it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if they want my services, they'll message me. And yeah. I think my content should speak for itself.
Definitely. I mean, that's how we met, right? I followed you on Instagram and I got a message from you.
Exactly. Yeah.
It was great. But so I actually want to talk about this, you know, this viral sensation that, mm-hmm. I mean, not sensation, it's viral phenomena that happens, right? Where a company, specifically, let's talk about companies as opposed to like individual people. You know, I see a lot of these days companies putting in a ton of work into their social media, sort of looking for that viral video that'll help them sell their product or their service or whatever it is that they do, because, I mean, it's an amazing marketing tool, but you don't really have control over which content goes viral. Like, that's the nature of it, right? You can kind of work to see what is most likely to go viral, and there's certain metrics I'm assuming you can use to sort of post at the right time to the right audience with the right content that can sort of maximize your chances of it. But really, like, it's up to the universe, for lack of a better word, right? Yeah. So what's it like having a video, or what, first of all, like, let's say what kind of content was it that went viral, and why do you think your piece went viral that you just spoke about?
So this was before Reels even.
Gotcha.
So it was a static post. It was a graphic about the Instagram algorithm and how to support businesses for free by, you know, liking, commenting, following them. And it talked about the Instagram algorithm, and it talked about how the saves option and the sharing option were more important than likes and comments. Mm. And that triggered a lot of people. And I wrote on their new Instagram algorithm or whatever. And because it was slightly controversial, it made a lot of people mad in a way. But also because it was talking about how to support small businesses, a lot of small businesses reposted that on their stories. Mm. It has about 400,000 shares or something, and most of those were stories. And so it gained a lot of traction to my account for my exact niche that I wanted, small businesses, right. Business owners, right? I don't really care about anybody else. Yeah. That was the post. I think that now getting a viral post is a little bit different. Now you want to focus on that video format. I also find that viral posts are the ones that are not over curated. Mm-hmm. Too many businesses, too many other marketing agencies over curate everything. They'll film these super fancy videos and only post that on social media, which, yes, fancy videos are great. It, you know, adds quality to your brand, adds everything. But the ones that are actually going to get traction, the ones that are actually going to get viral, are the ones where you literally take out your phone and videotape something stupid that you just think of that minute, or you kind of follow a dumb trend. Those are the ones that will actually help out your account more, I find. And then there's also the aspect of, if you're a business, do you want to focus on selling that one viral product and not having longevity of your brand? Or do you want to focus on building a massive brand and still have it around in 20 years.
Right.
I think if you're looking for that longevity, you want to focus more on the community aspect of social media and slowly building up your audience, getting real people. Whereas if you want to just sell that one product, sell a shit ton of it right then and there, then yes, follow the viral aspect of it, because you're going to get tons of followers. You're going to get tons of attraction then. But they're not going to be long-lasting customers. Mm-hmm. They're not going to continue to interact with you, and you're not going to build that long-lasting customer base.
Right. It's not sustainable in that sense.
Exactly.
Right. Exactly. And that makes a lot of sense. And so you're saying that, like, because I want to learn more about this, like, you know, take a quick video from your cell phone, Right. Yeah. Now, is that because like that's the kind of content that appeals to people these days the most at this time, right? Like things keep changing. But in your experience, is that what's the most attractive? I don't know what the right word is.
It's attractive because it's not being overthought. So it's generally more stupid and more funny. And right. Why do you go on social media? You go on social media to be entertained, right? You go on it in your leisure time to scroll, see what people are up to, have a little laugh. So yeah, sometimes you want to go on there to see super cool videos, but oftentimes what's going to catch your eye and what you share to friends, which shareability is way more important than the algorithm, are those stupid videos, right? And so my best videos on TikTok, for example, are ones of me cleaning my tires with that white foam spray because people thought I was painting my tires. I did the McDonald's trend where you order an ice cream and you grab it from the actual ice cream and not the cone. And that got tons of views too.
Right.
So
people like silly stuff.
Yes, people like silly stuff. And when brands and businesses specifically integrate that into their social media content, a lot of people don't expect it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's a business. They should be professional. And a lot of businesses over curate their feed, and any agency they hire will over curate their feed as well. When really what's going to do well and what's going to, you know, get their brand out there and be super interesting to the audiences on TikTok and on Instagram are the stupid things that you don't expect them to do.
Right. It's a different way of thinking about marketing, right?
100%. It's completely different.
So when you say over curated, what exactly do you mean?
I mean, by having the extremely fancy camera equipment, planning it out as if it's a movie or something, editing it perfect, having the perfect music, voiceover, everything, which those are great. You know, they can be super cool. Of course, it depends on your brand. Maybe extremely high-end brands only want that. But I never really see those go viral.
No.
And the amount of ROI on it. Like, think of the money that you're spending to get those fancy videos made for Instagram Reels. And if you have to pump out at least 3 videos or 3 posts a week, well, that cost is going to go up like crazy. When if you get somebody who can just take it on their phone and edit it kind of decently quick and, you know, do the captions, do everything for much less, and the result is better because, you know, people can sense bullshit, and extremely curated videos are bullshit. When you get someone who makes authentic content, it just is a lot more relatable to your audience.
Right. And I think that people would rather watch something that's not as well produced but more entertaining than something that's very well produced but boring.
Exactly.
Right. Like, there's tons of videos and memes and things like this online that are terrible quality, but they're so popular because the content of it is amazing, right? Or entertaining. Mm-hmm. And so people don't care about the quality. You know, they'll deal with it. I mean, it's not ideal, but they'll deal with it because it's worth it anyway. Right. So it's not the right aspect to focus on. Or I guess it's one of the aspects to focus on, but shouldn't be your primary if you're a content producing company. Right.
I'm just going to plug my light back in.
Go for it.
I might as well have the best lighting possible.
Yeah. Let the world see you. While you do that, my dog's asking to be let out.
Okay, there we go. A little break.
Come on. Okay, sorry about that.
Perfect.
Now, one of the interesting aspects about social media marketing is influencer marketing, right? And it's a relatively new phenomenon, right? Because the whole concept of influencers is new. So what kind of brands or companies do you think are best served by influencer marketing?
Everybody. I think that there is a way to use influencers for every type of business out there. And I can give you a couple examples. So I have a fitness client, And what he does is he's an online fitness coach. He owns a massive business now, and he coaches middle-aged women. So how can he get influencers? Well, he doesn't train people for free. He doesn't do any of that. What he'll do is he will pay meme pages and online influencer moms to repost one of his videos with a caption, and he pays them. So that's an interesting way that you can use influencers. Most people think of influencers as product-based. You would send them your product and they would do either a review or they would use it in a video and you'd pay them. That's the traditional way of using influencers for e-com purposes. But I think that everybody can use it, even for property developers. There was one scenario in Winnipeg where, you know, there's this gorgeous new apartment building made and they were targeting university students because it was right near the university. So what they did is they held an influencer open house and they invited younger influencers in Winnipeg to go to this building, and they didn't require them to film anything, but obviously they're going to film it and take photos if they're younger and on TikTok and stuff. So they got massive, they've got probably thousands of dollars worth of promo for not even really paying them, because they would have just invited them to this influencer open house. So that's another unique way of using it. And there's so many ways that people haven't thought of. So I do think that every single business out there can benefit from influencers in some way. You just have to find the way that works the best for your brand.
Yeah, you have to be creative. Right. Yeah. Like, because you're right. It's like you typically think of influencer marketing as like, oh, there are influencers who will talk about my product or whatever, exactly, and or service. And that's one way of doing it. That's very common. But there are other ways. And arguably, these ways are better because they're more organic. Right.
Exactly.
Like, you're not telling people what to say. You're just inviting them to your location, to your party, and being like, just do your thing. Like, this is your world. Do it however you want to do it. And, you know, we'll give you some free food or whatever they offer them.
Yeah, you know? The restaurant free food one is amazing. Even if you have a lounge, invite a bunch of influencers there, tell them you'll pay their drink tab for that night. They're going to have a blast. They're going to film so many videos. They're going to tag you in your Instagram stories, and you'll get thousands of dollars of promo for the cost of the drinks.
Yeah.
So it's insane. Yeah.
What do you think of the life of an influencer?
The laugh?
No, the life.
Oh, the life.
Accents.
I think that the life of an influencer is, people think it's better than it actually is, because it takes a lot of work. Filming videos and editing content and coming up with ideas is tiring. It doesn't seem like it because, you know, everybody tries to make their life look perfect online. I probably accidentally do that as well, but it's hard. It's a lot of work. Like, I spend 14 hours of my day. I mean, I'm specifically business owner, but in front of computers, creating content for other companies, sending emails, and I barely even think about my TikTok anymore, which is quite unfortunate. But, you know, it's so fake online. And now that I'm in this industry, I completely notice that. And social media is toxic, but it's really good as well, because you can learn a lot from it. You just have to make sure you're looking at it in the right aspect. But the life of an influencer is way more work than you'd think, and not as glamorous.
Yeah. And I think people sort of have that sense of people online anyway. Right. Mm-hmm. Is it's like, well, because everyone's only posting their best. And so you look online and it's like all this amazing stuff. And then you forget that, like, that's a snapshot in time or a very well edited video. Yeah. Right. Where, you know, someone's going to this place and doing this fun thing. And you're like, yeah, that took them, like, they had to fly there. They had to play. They had to stay somewhere. They had to do all these things. And you're seeing like a minute of worth of content that makes it look amazing, which is what advertising in general does anyway, right? They're just advertising life, I suppose, is one way to think about it.
Yeah. I'd say the best part about the influencer life is getting invited to events and that type of thing for free. That's by far the best part of it. But then what do you have to do after that? You know, you go to an event for free, take your videos, whatever. Then you have to go home and you have to sit there and you have to edit it for 2 hours. You have to send them the content. You have to do all of that. So
yeah,
you know, there's a payoff.
It is, there's definitely a payoff but that's like anything in life, right? There's pros and cons to it.
Of course, but people don't think about that when it comes to influencers.
Yeah. Of course not. And, you know, I have a complicated relationship with social media because on the one hand, I think it's brilliant, mm-hmm. right? I think it's changed the world in many ways for the better. And it's so useful and I use it, you know, personally and professionally, you know, like for my business and podcast and stuff like that. And so it's so important, but it's also like so dangerous.
And
it's hard to be in the position where I'm like creating content, but at the same time being like, don't spend too much time on social media because mm-hmm. it's bad for your brain, which it really is, right?
You want to create more than you consume.
Yes. But that's for me, right? Not for everyone. Because most people aren't creators, right?
Yes, that is true.
I create far more than I consume. Yeah. Because, I mean, I didn't used to be that way. I would get sucked down the TikTok rabbit hole for hours, right? Come out the other side just feeling depressed and shitty and being like, what am I doing with my time? And then it would happen again and again until I was like, no more TikTok for me, right? I'll post on TikTok, but I can't be a consumer because I just know myself and it just doesn't work for me, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that a lot of people end up feeling that way. And yet social media is just so prevalent and just everyone uses it at all ages. Like it's really funny looking at, you know, the analytics of various videos and seeing like on TikTok and seeing like the 77 plus age range watching videos. And I'm like, who are these people on TikTok? I mean, it's great, like good for them, but it's just so unexpected, you know?
Because they just watch it, they don't post.
Yes.
So a lot of businesses, some do, but a lot of businesses feel like their older target market isn't on TikTok. And that's completely wrong. It's just the fact that they don't post as much. Mm-hmm. So you don't see them.
Yeah. I like the sort of, you know, elderly folks on TikTok posting stuff. It's always
honestly
fun.
That's the best. That is the best.
They're always great. It's always a little bit of like, I don't really know what I'm doing, but I want to be part of it. I want to say something or do something. I don't, some of them seem like they don't really understand how the world of TikTok works and how you can post one video and all of a sudden 10 million people have watched it and how that's going to seriously impact your life. But that's great. That's part of the fun, right? It's such a weird platform, TikTok. Like brilliant, but weird, right?
And
it's just absolutely taken over. And I don't know. I think it's here to stay for a while.
I do too. I think it's just going to get bigger and bigger. I mean, every single other platform has copied them.
Yes.
So obviously they're doing something right. It's popular because the way that it works is extremely addicting.
Mm-hmm. It's designed phenomenally well for that purpose.
Exactly. That's why they designed it like that. So people stay on it longer. There's, you know, they watch more ads. So that equals more revenue for TikTok. And that's the whole social media game. They just want you on it as long as possible.
Mm-hmm. How do people make money on TikTok?
There's a few ways. It depends if you're talking about businesses or influencers. Influencers specifically on TikTok, you can make money from lives. Only in the US, you can make money off of video views. They haven't launched that in Canada.
Mm.
You can make money off of promoting businesses' products.
Sure.
Or if you're an influencer, if you have a large TikTok following, you can start, you know, a clothing brand, or you could start selling something else and funnel people toward that.
Okay. So people use it mostly for other revenue generation purposes, right? As opposed to like YouTube, where you get money for views, but that's because of ads, right?
Yeah, you can get money for views only in the States.
And is it, you know, lucrative for that? Or only if you're really at the top, I imagine.
Probably only if you're at the top. Like, I don't have many close friends who are big on TikTok in the States. So I don't even know how that structure works, to be honest.
And would you say that, you know, if a company, I guess it depends, but if a company was looking to sort of start off their social media management, I mean, a social media presence, right? They're like, I need to do this. I need to grow my business. Let's say it's a small business. Would you say that TikTok should be their first line?
I recommend starting Instagram and Facebook first, and then 2 months after, get on TikTok.
How come?
I think that Instagram and Facebook are much easier to get your, like, if you're a well-known brand already, people are going to search you up on Instagram and Facebook first, opposed to TikTok. TikTok is more where people will see you and notice you because of your video being on their For You page. But like, I've personally never searched up a business on TikTok in my life. I search up businesses on Instagram. That's just me.
Me too.
Feel like that's the general population, but I search up companies on Instagram, Facebook. So anybody who already knows them probably wants to find them on Facebook and Instagram just to keep up with their brand. So I recommend that first. I also find that those two are easier for creating content and for posting and for managing in general, where TikTok requires a bit more work in the sense that it's all videos and you have to find that fine line between how controversial and funny does this business want to be.
Yeah, whereas on Facebook and Instagram, you can post just like brand stuff. Right.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a good way just to, you want to slowly get into it. Yeah. I find that a lot of business owners will just get on absolutely everything and then they'll be extremely overwhelmed. They won't know what to post, but they want to post on everything. They just don't know how or don't know what. So starting out with one or two key platforms, which I think Instagram and Facebook are the best for that, is a great way to start out. Then you slowly transition into TikTok. You should always have a LinkedIn account, even if you don't post on it, but then start posting on LinkedIn after that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, what's interesting though, is because I was thinking about that now, what you said about companies on TikTok, because I don't look up companies on TikTok either, but I do on Instagram. And I think it seems to me that like TikTok is chaos, right?
Yes.
Now you have to be ready for the chaos, whereas Instagram's quite peaceful, right? In the sense of like, you look at an Instagram page, you can see the posts, they're nice. Most of them are static or static-ish. It's not chaos. You're not like trying to go through these videos that are like, you know, flipping camera angles every 3 seconds and music and all this like chaos. Like there's some of that, but it's not all of it. And so you can get a much better sense of the brand on Instagram where you can see, okay, this is the kind of clothing, let's say, and you know, this is the brand message and the brand identity, and you can get a much better sense of what's going on. And Facebook, same, just a little bit different. And so yeah, that makes sense, because TikTok is chaos. Like I don't know how you would even get a sense of a brand identity as a whole just through TikTok. Like it would have to be done really well.
Yeah, it's a lot harder. On Instagram and Facebook, curating the brand and how it looks, so much easier than TikTok. And with TikTok, it's really hard to have that kind of sales funnel. You can only have a link in your bio if you have over 1,000 followers. So, you know, even if you get a viral post when you just start out, there's absolutely nowhere for followers to go. They can search you up on Google, but most people are lazy and they just want to click a link. You also can't really, the DMs, that's the one thing I hate about TikTok. The DMs and the messages isn't really effective. Where Instagram, the DMs I absolutely love. And on a business account, interacting with users and customers, super easy. Where on TikTok, it's a lot harder because they have to, I mean, depends on your settings, but most of the time they have to follow you and you have to follow them in order for them to message you. So making sales on TikTok is extremely hard unless you're going for a viral e-commerce product, basically.
Yeah. And Instagram and Facebook have like, you know, Meta's business suite that sort of like sorts all that out for you.
Yes.
And you can deal with messages and comments and the whole works from one place. You don't have to do it like manually, like one by one. You're right. On TikTok, that's weird that you have to mutually follow in order to message. Like, that seems like a weird feature, which I don't really understand, except if they're trying to contain spam or something like that. But that's happening anyway.
Exactly.
I wonder if there's a lot of like bots on TikTok. Presumably.
Well, there's bots everywhere. I mean, I think there's more bots on Facebook and Instagram. But Instagram did a huge bot reset recently where they deleted a ton of accounts. Everybody's follower count dropped like by thousands, and they all freaked out. It was just because Instagram was getting rid of people. But I would assume TikTok looks like it has a lot of bots, because there's a lot of accounts with zero followers, no profile photo. But I truly believe those are real people who just don't want to post. It's a way different. Everybody posts on Instagram for the most part, if you have an account. On TikTok, a lot of people get accounts just to scroll.
Yeah. It's also TikTok's way more anonymous, right?
Way more.
Most people are anonymous on TikTok, mm-hmm. whereas most people on Instagram aren't anonymous. I mean, you'd have to create a specific account to be anonymous, right? Like, otherwise you're using your real names and stuff like that. I mean, and people still do crazy stuff using their real names. But that's always fun. And I'm like, I don't know if you know what you're doing, but hey, it's a free world, right?
Yeah.
It's always funny to see people like posting these like crazy things. And you're like, you know, you're a real person in the real world. Like, you can't just say this stuff online and expect it to just be cool when you go to work the next day. Like, people are going to know it's you. It's wild. But TikTok's different in that sense. It's, do you find that like, because we were talking about how, you know, you can connect with people much easier as a brand through like Instagram and Facebook, and mm-hmm. less so on TikTok. So would you say that those two are the best for like connecting with your clients?
Yes.
Does it follow from that logic, right?
I would say for sure. And also just Facebook and Instagram stories mm-hmm. are great for building a community and also for selling. Because you don't want to sell in main posts, you want to sell in the stories. Where on TikTok, because if you're just selling on your feed, nobody's gonna follow you.
Because selling.
Yeah, because it's all selling. People don't go on social media to be sold to. They want to follow a company because they're entertaining and post interesting things. So they follow you because you post interesting things. And then, you know, once they see your brand a couple of times, they'll see your Instagram stories, where you'll then use CTAs to, you know, check out your new YouTube video, check out your new products on your website, check out a sale. If you post that stuff on your feed, nobody's going to follow you. Where there's the story, it's a little bit more personable, and you can, you know, they're already interested in your brand, so it's easier to sell.
Right. And I guess with stories, it's also less like in your face, right? Like, you have to click on it. So you're kind of like, okay, I chose to look at this.
Yes. You know,
whereas if you're just scrolling, it just feels like another ad if they're selling mm-hmm. something.
You wouldn't even notice it.
No, and there's so many ads online. I'm surprised that Instagram hasn't come out with like some premium version of like no ads for like a subscription.
100% they will.
But I guess they make too much money from ads to do that. Like, they've obviously done the calculations to realize it's not profitable for them to do that yet, because otherwise they would, because they're a business that's in it to make money.
Right? That is true. Yeah, because Facebook hasn't done it either, so.
No, but Facebook ads, I don't know, I haven't been on Facebook in a long time.
It's just as bad.
I'm sure, but why wouldn't it be?
Yeah.
Nothing's as bad as YouTube, though. Because it interrupts your whole videos and content, and that's
terrible.
I hate it when that happens. Like,
and now Netflix is doing that.
Are they going to do that, or did they just threaten to do that?
Oh, I don't know. I thought they were going to do that. I thought it's a thing that's happening.
Oh, maybe. Last I heard, a few months ago, they were threatening to do that, and people were up in arms about it. And I was like, that seems like a bad idea. That's why people are paying you. You know.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a reason why it's a subscription service and it's not for ads. Mm-hmm. Ads are the worst.
I mean,
even though they're essential to like our businesses and stuff like that, it's just, they're just so infuriating, right? They just ruin the whole experience. And it's like, for me with a podcast, I'm like, it's hard to imagine when I would do ads, right? Like, right. I'd rather make a little bit less money, but have like some kind of subscription or Patreon, you know, additional content that's paid for rather than for free, than run ads, because it just seems like it will just interfere with everyone's experience, especially as a relatively low level podcaster, right?
Like, your audience would shrink.
Yeah, as they should. Like, I would deserve it.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't help it on places like YouTube where I don't get to choose that they force me to play ads sometimes. But in terms of like in episode ads, like, no.
Yeah, no, don't do that.
No, no, it's not worth it.
Unnecessary.
If anything, I would do like in the beginning so people can skip it. But then why am I doing it, right? Like, you want people to listen because that's why you're putting them there. But I mean, what's the return on that kind of stuff? It's got to be like a fraction of a percent, right? Even with the, like, what do they call it, where you like you sponsor a product or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Like, I guess it depends on the account and how, because the business has to find the influencers, right? So they're looking for an audience that is their audience as well. So the return truly depends how well the business did their job of finding the influencers.
But even so, like, I don't know that I've ever heard an ad and gone and bought their product.
Not on a podcast.
No.
I don't think that ads on podcasts are effective, but TikTok, definitely effective. Like, I did, you know, I do the odd ad just for when companies reach out for me. I did a snow cone thing and it got tons of views, actually. So that definitely paid off for them. And then I did a event. I talked about a Winnipeg event and then we put ads to it. So I think that did well also, just because my whole audience is Winnipeg based.
Got you.
Yeah. Yeah. So it truly depends.
Yeah. Although what it does do is like brand awareness. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, if the same company sponsors a bunch of episodes and a bunch of podcasts, like, you certainly become aware of that brand. Right.
You'd become interested and you'd eventually search it up.
Yeah. If you're interested in that stuff. Like, I'm trying to think of the big brands that I keep hearing on podcasts. Well, one is BetterHelp, right? The online therapy service, okay. Which I'd never heard of before. The other one is, but it's good for them, right? I'm all for it, right? As a therapist, like, the more people get help, the better. What else? Manscaped is everywhere. I mean, these, I guess, are the podcasts I listen to. Seems like those two don't exactly line up, but hey, it's quite good. Men need therapy too. Babbel, like the...
Oh, yeah, Babbel. Okay, I know that one.
Yeah, Babbel. What else? Liquid IV, right? The supplement, something of sort. So I haven't bought any of this stuff, but it's like, well, now I know these products. And if I was interested in, you know, let's say I decided I want to do online therapy, well, I know BetterHelp. I don't know them, but like, I have the brand in my brain now. So I'm definitely going to take them as a strong consideration. It doesn't mean I will necessarily go, but it'll be the first thing I Google probably.
For sure.
Or
when
whatever
you need
supplement
it
is.
That's
yeah.
what you would go to. And it's interesting too, because a lot of, you know, whether it be a client or a business on social media is like, well, my sales aren't going up yet. And it's only like 1 or 2 months in.
Yeah.
And well, you're not going to get sales 1 or 2 months in, because we don't even know 100% what type of content works yet. And B, the goal is more about brand awareness. So then when a person needs your product or service, they'll go to you first. That's what it's about. It's not about just selling. Plus, it's pretty much impossible for us to calculate what posts equaled sales, because we don't see their website analytics or anything either.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's but true. It is interesting.
That's why Coke still advertises. Right. For brand awareness.
Exactly.
It's like one of the biggest brands in the world. You'd think that they don't need to advertise, but they do, because it works for I mean, they put probably billions into annual advertising. Coke, McDonald's, all of these ones that you just still see, even though you know the brand and people are still choosing them, they're still out there doing as much as they can for their own brand. And that just speaks to the power of it, right?
Exactly.
Like, you shouldn't dismiss it just because it doesn't exactly make sense to you.
yeah, for sure.
So, you know, one of the things that we had spoken about before was this idea of like the mindset of an entrepreneur, right? And I wanted to chat to you a little bit about that, because what would you say are some of the like characteristic mindset features that you embody or aspire to embody, at least in terms of becoming successful, like in your field and as an entrepreneur in general?
I would say not being afraid of fear is a massive one, and actually going out and doing things, right? Not just having the idea, not just writing it down. That's what everybody does. They have their idea, they think about it for a couple of years, they really want to do it, but they don't do it. Where one of my traits is I don't think about things, which is bad in some instances. I just go ahead and do things, and I'm extremely active in that sense. My other one is that I know that I'm not the best at anything, and I always know that I can become better, whether that be like a better leader, better at social media, better at even my business systems. I can be better at everything, right? Better at general organization. Like, my desk is a fucking mess right now, but just little things. So the whole growth mindset aspect, I know that I'm not the best. I know that maybe I'll never be the best, but wisdom and stuff will come with age, and I'll slowly learn things as I need it, and I'll learn from that failure.
Yeah.
I saw a video the other day of Gary Vee again. Gary Vee always inspires me. And his video was mentioning how you have to fall in love with failure. Mm-hmm. And that is the truest thing ever. I don't think I'm at that point yet personally. So I aspire to fall in love with failure. Still a little bit nervous about it. Just this early in the game. But failure is important. It's truly important. People go to school and they're taught all these things and they think they know everything. And then, you know, there's no growth mindset after that. They don't want to fail at all. And so they'll start up these businesses and they'll be so precise with everything, even though half the stuff you're actually taught in business school isn't necessarily relevant. How many profs currently run big businesses? Mm-hmm. Well, none, because then they wouldn't be profs. So I just find the whole business school structure completely wrong. And I think that needs to be rewritten. There's probably some schools that do it right. Just specifically here, it's not good. So those are a few traits.
What's interesting there is that the fear of failure, I mean, learning to love failure, right? Because you mentioned school, and I think one of the things that is taught to kids, you know, when we were at school, presumably you had the same experience I did, where failure was condemned, right? It wasn't an opportunity for you to do better, right? If you failed a test or an assignment,
almost move on to the next thing.
Almost none of the teachers were like, all right, that's cool, why don't you submit it again? Right? Or let's see what went wrong and then submit it again and do it again. Because that's how the real world works most of the time.
Exactly.
Sometimes you fail and you lose it all, but you've learned so much along the way and you get to try it again if you want to, right? Whereas tests and exams are, it's like you have one opportunity only, and if you mess it up, then that's the end of that. Which makes no sense to prepare people for the real world, because then you do fear failure because you think if you fail, it's over, right? And that's just almost never true, right?
Never.
There's always,
I've never had an experience like that where I've failed once and didn't have the opportunity again.
No, like even if your business failed, you can always start a new business.
Exactly.
Right? Not that it would be easy or fun or that you it would be nice. But you could do it, right? You don't get to lose your, you know, opportunity to run businesses just because you had one business failed. If that were true, almost no business that is successful would be around, because usually successful entrepreneurs are on their like third or fourth or fifth business mm-hmm. when they make it big, right? It's very rarely the first one that takes off, because you don't know anything at that point. You have to learn. Yeah. And so I think that's really important. And it's really hard to come to grips with failure, because it does suck, right? Mm-hmm. And it hurts, and it gets you, it depends, but it usually gets you like in your soul, right? It feels yeah. Like a personal failure, even if it's a business failure.
Right.
And to not let that, so you have to like accept the failure, right? Like it, I'm not saying ignore it, but, and work through it and process your emotions, but then use that as a stepping stone onto something else, right? At the right time.
Especially as an entrepreneur, yeah. it's really difficult because your business is your baby.
Mm-hmm.
So you, like, I have a personal attachment to my business. I probably shouldn't be this personally attached, but so you're completely right. When something in my business fails or goes a little bit wrong, I personally feel it yeah. in my soul in a way. And so just noticing how to detach that. I'd say another trait about entrepreneurship is persistence and discipline.
Mm-hmm.
So always going at it every single day. There are days that I wake up and I, you know, overall, I absolutely love what I do and I'm truly blessed. But I have the days where I just don't want to do it. I'm tired. I don't feel like answering my emails, whatever, but I do it anyway, because yeah. I know that I have long-term goals that I really want to meet and I really want to make this business work. So that's one trait amongst that I see all business owners have, is just that true discipline and that true persistence. You don't stop. You never stop. You always keep going.
Yeah. And you have to find that motivation internally, right?
Yeah.
You can set external goals and things like that, but that discipline has to be cultivated and mm-hmm. driven by your internal motivation for success or for whatever you're going for, because those days happen to everyone, right? No one's immune to those feelings of like,
exactly.
I don't want to do anything today. Right. And yeah. you should also give yourself appropriate rest and whatever, and fair enough. But mm-hmm. I completely agree what you say with, you have to just keep going and just mm-hmm. get after it, as you say, and just focus. And you know what, even if you lose a day, fine. Right. Because yeah. maybe you needed it, or right. you take a week off, like, fine. Maybe you needed that too. It's not like you have to be 24/7
gung-ho. No,
it's not. But it's about being consistent and keep on going, especially during the down periods, right? Because mm-hmm. there are fluctuations, and there's fluctuations in your motivation too. So mm-hmm. sometimes you'll be far more motivated than other times. And when you're not motivated, that's when you're really susceptible to things going south, because it's easy to just stop at that point. Mm-hmm. Because doing things is more difficult than not doing things. But the things that are worth doing, I mean, anything that's worth having is worth doing. I mean, that didn't yeah. make sense, but you know
what I mean. I know what you mean.
You have to work to get the things that yes. are worth having, right? Yeah,
exactly.
That's super important. And did you find you always had this kind of discipline, or did you have to cultivate it?
Definitely not. I used to be extremely motivated for a month at a time, and then it would just drop off. So I would, you know, always, even in school, at the start of a project, I would want to get it all done. I'd be so motivated about it. I'd be so excited, do all my research, everything, and then it would kind of trickle off and I wouldn't really care about it anymore. And I didn't have the discipline or the consistency to stay at it.
Mm-hmm.
And see it through. Yeah, exactly. So that has 100% changed now. And I think a lot of that is because of goal setting and knowing where I want to go,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, with the school project is just, that's the project and that's it. What is the long-term goal of that project? Well, I didn't even want to be in school at that point.
Yeah.
So a different story, but no, 100% it's changed. It's changed just based off of maturing. Like, I'm mm-hmm. 21, right? So I still have a lot of maturing to go, but also based off of having conversations with other business owners. One of my favorite things to do is going out to lunch with other business owners in the city, learning from them, having conversations, almost as if they're a mentor, but not a mentor, right? And that's extremely important. And chatting with them, learning their how their day goes, learning their goals, how they manage their team, their leadership styles, it teaches me a lot. And a common factor amongst all of that has always been discipline and seeing everything through and focusing on one project at a time, but also knowing that there is a long-term goal and there's something that that small project will lead up to in years to come. It's just little small steps, right? It's not going to be one big step ever. So that it was a general mindset shift that I guess fixed that discipline aspect of it.
And also because it's what you want, right? Exactly. And it aligns with your values, right? Because when you're doing something that's in alignment with your values and with your goals, then it's much easier to get yourself to do stuff because you're doing it for you, right?
Right.
When you're doing things for other people, it's a lot harder. Mm-hmm. Right. Now you can reframe that in terms of like how you think about what you're doing for other people. That's still being for you. That might help a little bit. But you know, that's up to each person to sort of figure out for themselves. Like,
exactly.
How do I make this so that this is something that I want to do? Because when you want to do something, that inherently has motivation attached to it. Mm-hmm. And I think another thing that I learned was that, sometimes you have to do stuff before you're motivated to do it, and the motivation comes afterwards, right? You don't have to wait for motivation to be there in order to do it.
That's what everybody does. They wait for motivation.
Yeah, because that's what gets us going, right? Yeah. But you don't actually have to. And sometimes you can't afford to wait because you might be waiting for a long time.
You might miss an opportunity also.
Yeah. And you never know, right? You might start and the motivation suddenly arrives, but you have to start. And that's a really hard thing to come to grips with and takes practice, but it certainly can be done. And it's one of the things that people, it's one of the pieces of wisdom that people have espoused for forever, right? Is don't wait for the motivation, do it anyway. The motivation will come, right?
Yeah,
exactly. I think that's a great place for us to finish off, because this hour's flown by and I want to respect your time. And so thank you so much for coming on. Please tell everyone where they can find you. What would you like to promote for yourself?
Sure. Thank you so much for having me. This has been a blast, by the way. You can find me on Instagram, maddie.teresa, or my business account, Mad Social Agency. My TikTok and all other platforms are the exact same as that. And I look forward to chatting with all of you. Just send me a message if you have any questions, need social media help, anything.
Perfect. Thank you. And I look forward to doing all the links will be in the description and all that kind of stuff for anyone listening. I look forward to having you on again soon.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Take care.